The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for the full lineup and more details.
The 6th Annual Utah Beer Festival takes place Saturday, August 15th at Library Square in downtown Salt Lake City. Visit utahbeerfestival.com for more details.
I'm Christian Schultz, junior editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be featuring two galleries making an impact in SLC, Monogogo and Gorilla Gallery. Monogogo is a vintage furniture store and art gallery in Salt Lake City. Founded by Marcus Gibby and Eric Morley, the gallery features an array of furniture from the 50s to the 70s, with a focus on items for the living room, office, and bedroom. Every month, the walls are used to highlight new local artists on both floors, as a part of Gallery Stroll and to help promote new works coming out of the city. Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis spoke with Morley about the store and the artists they bring in.
Now, you can see we have a very decorative sound studio here. I bet you could do some things with this, because Monogogo is quite a fashionable store featuring mid-century furniture.
Mid-century modern furniture. So all of the furniture is from, most of it is from the 50s, 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
And then we pair it with...
Mid-last century, then.
Mid-last century, that's right. Not quite to mid-century
this
century.
You're not to the future. It's
yet.
Not futuristic furniture.
Some of it could be.
Totally. It'll all come back around.
That's
and it
right.
is. It's a very popular store, I know, because mid-century modern is huge right now. So you probably have a lot of great things that go with people's decor, current decor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and it kind of goes with our name, and that's the reason that we chose the name Monogogo. We get asked all the time what Monogogo means. And it's everything, you know, mode of the mode, or mod means stylish and hip and happening and everything. And a go-go is what's happening, what's modern, what's current, what's stylish. And so, you know, mid-century modern is in mode right now. It's a go-go. So we are sticking with that theme and making sure that we're current. And then we're also integrating new pieces to keep up with design trends. So we're noticing that in a lot of design magazines, we have a huge following of local interior designers. We consult with them. And we're seeing a lot of integration of industrial types of furniture and pieces in with the mid-century modern. It all has clean lines. It still looks cool. But they're meshing the two designs together. And so now we're starting to integrate some more industrial design with the mid-century.
I love it. I love how that it's fashion, whether it be your furniture or your home or the clothing you wear. Things come back around, but you add a new splice to it, something new. You know, it's not going to be just a throwback. So I love that they're putting that kind of industrial and urbanism in with it and mixing it up. I think that's a lot of fun to see those two together.
Yeah.
So.
And Monogogo, the name is a retro throwback, but it also means that we need to remain current, and we've got to stay up on the current design trends and keep pieces in the shop that are going to be appealing with whatever's happening in the market now.
Nice. And you guys have such a vast array of things, but you also dedicate space to art. So tell me about kind of your gallery space.
We do. We were lucky to get the building that we have. So it's the old Kings Row Tuxedo Shop on South Temple, 242 East South Temple.
I know. I remember driving by that for so long. I didn't buy any tuxedos then, but...
My dad rented tuxedos there for prom when he was in high school in rural Nevada.
Wow.
And he would drive to town and go to Kings Row Tuxedo Shop. And
it's a piece of history.
Oh, it definitely is. And it's actually getting restored right now.
Oh, wonderful.
So our landlord is doing a complete exterior renovation to strip all of the white paint, restore all the brick, bring it back to its original beauty. But we're not getting rid of any of the tile work. I think my mother would lose her mind if we did.
It's beautiful. I love the tile work. It really does kind of, if it was gone, I think I would totally drive by and not remember which building you were.
Seriously, it is iconic. It's pretty cool. But the building itself really, it matched what we wanted to do with
the
store.
It's modern in mid-century modern, sleek lines, big windows.
Cool staircases.
Yeah.
Clean
open,
lines. Yeah, it's beautiful. And the tile pattern, like we were saying, just has this really cool atomic wrench kind of look to it. So it's really, it's neat. And the building was what we were looking looking for a space where we could host events, where we could show off the art. And because our whole concept was, it was actually an MBA project of mine at Westminster.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So an MBA project that continues
and
that on.
That came to fruition, yeah, and became something.
That's very rare.
Yeah. And I work for American Express during the day. Marcus, my partner, runs the shop. So I've been in risk management for like 12 years. So an entrepreneurial endeavor was a huge...
I know, I was going to say, I bet all signs were like, don't do it.
I didn't want to do it, but I was like, it's time for a leap of faith. Let's try something new.
And furniture and art, that could be a little tricky between the two.
It is. And so the gap in the market that I identified was opportunity for new artists. Because Marcus is an artist, and we had tried for a number of years to launch his career looking at coffee shops, other galleries, different festivals and shows, and things like the farmers market downtown. And it's tough for new artists to break it out into the market to connect with people who want to buy their pieces and to start building a reputation. And so that was the gap. And we wanted a space where we could very easily invite new artists to show off their innovative, creative talents in a cool space that could hold a lot of people. And lo and behold, the space that we got was just so fantastic that it's really opened up a lot of opportunities for us to host not only art shows, but a lot of different types of events that get the artists a ton of exposure. And since then, we've even had a couple quit their full-time jobs and do art full-time.
That's when I was going to say, I think the artists heard your open call years ago when you first opened, and you've had quite a good little group. It's become almost a reoccurring, they're the same artists that come back because they want to be a part of what you're doing and to be a part of the shows, correct?
Absolutely. We have our loyal favorites. I mean, they've become close friends of ours, right? And we have a lot of loyalty to them because they helped get us going. They spread the word and helped us build our community. But every single new group show that we do, we get new artists.
Oh, excellent.
And so that reputation is expanding. So it's not just the standard few, the Heather Ackleys, the Buddy Ayers, the Matt Pages and Chris Kirkham, and you know those and Vita Koblikina that you're going to see in the show from time to time, but we're really expanding out and getting a lot more artists.
Nice. That's wonderful. So if you're a new artist or an artist that would like to be showing at Matagogo, how would you go about doing that?
So we do have a lot of group shows. We do a number of, we've started integrating solo shows as well with a few artists, and we've done some of those this year. But we do an awful lot of group shows, and those are open calls to any artist. Obviously, I mean, we do jury them to make sure that they fit the theme and that they're of a quality that we can sell it. But it's very rare that we turn away an artist. And even if we do, Marcus is really good at giving them advice and helping them.
Sure,
and
if they're mentoring
interested in it. Yeah. So we're happy to talk with any artist that comes in. But aside from the group shows, we also, our main floor gallery is open all the time, and we're always accepting new artwork for the main floor gallery.
Oh, excellent. And that's kind of where you have prints available, the stuff that goes side by side with the furniture.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So, and you may not have things that fit the theme of a group show, because our next group show next month is going to be vinyl, or art on vinyl, which is painting on record albums and on the actual vinyl itself. And so you may not be interested in painting on a vinyl record, but you may have a really cool abstract that you're wanting to show. And our main floor gallery is perfect for that.
Oh, that's great. So if you were an artist and you submitted work to you and then you announced that there's going to be a particular kind of show, then those artists are all encouraged to submit a piece with that medium or in that theme if they want to.
Absolutely.
So they can create something new for it. They don't have to have already had that or need to conform to that style.
Right.
So tell me, you've got the vinyl show coming up. What else? What else is are we leading into? What do we have for August? Gallery Stroll is August 21st, 6 to 9. Are you guys to close right at 9? Because sometimes...
This one's usually on Gallery Stroll, we close at 9. The crowds usually taper off around there. This one, though, we're going to stay open late. This one's going to be incredible. We are, for the next Gallery Stroll on the 21st, we're partnering with Salt Lake City City Indie Walk, who is revitalizing or bringing back the fashion shows, the downtown fashion show.
Oh, I loved those.
They were so cool.
They
and they,
were
they
so
got
fun.
So big that they were just unwieldy to manage. And so the organizers kind of did away with them, but they're coming back. And so they're bringing it back and they're hosting it in our parking lot.
Wonderful. What
it's
a perfect
be great.
Fit.
Absolutely. And
you have a
we're
great
gonna have
parking lot for that.
It's huge. And our landlord next door is volunteering his parking lot as well because we're going to have vendor booths with local designers. We're going to have food trucks and live entertainment. We're featuring four artists in our internal gallery inside the building with Gabriel Garcia, Marcus Gibby, Dania Darling, and Lisa Mace. We're all powerhouses
yeah,
in art.
Those
They're fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
And it's going to be a huge show. And we'll end at seven. The live entertainment will begin around 7 o'clock with Bad Kids Collective.
Oh, love them too.
Yeah. And around probably 7:30, 8 o'clock, they're going to start the live catwalk right through the center of our parking lot.
So. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, do people need to, is this free?
Free to the public.
Oh, even better.
Even better. It's fantastic. You got to figure out where to park around.
Because the parking lot is going to be used. Normally, parking's not a problem for you
That's
guys.
That's right.
But you have great spaces for bikes, and there's Uber, and there's Lyft, and there's, you know, all these ways to get around, walk, you know, stroll, park somewhere up the street. So
the good thing, if you go to events downtown, you're familiar with finding parking. And
yep, totally.
With the avenues right around us, there's plenty of street parking. There's other paid parking right around us. It'll
work. An event not to miss. That's wonderful.
It'll be so good.
And I hope you'll be able to get enough momentum that this can become more of a seasonal, you know, a couple of times a year event so we can get those fall and spring fashions.
Yeah, we'd love to have it back again. I'm so excited to see. This is our first fashion show, and I'm excited to see what our local fashion designers have in store for us. I think it'll be really neat to see.
Definitely. Okay, so that takes care of August. Do you have any teasers that we can talk about for September or October?
Both, yep. Thursday, September 10th, we're pairing up with Channel 801, and they are an organization that promotes local filmmakers and brings them together, and we'll be doing a short film viewing at Matagogo.
Nice.
And we have a projector and screen. I mean, obviously, we're not a big theater, but it's a
great little venue. No, but these are independent films, and those are mostly short films,
they're
right?
Short films, 15 minutes or less. The filmmaker will be present. You can ask questions, talk about it, give advice. It's just kind of a networking sharing event, or if you just like film and like local things, local art, it's a great way to come in, sit in, check it out, free to the public again.
And that's one of my favorite versions of film as a short film, because then you're not too invested in it. And if you don't like this one, just wait 5 minutes and you'll might like the next one. Yep, definitely. Well, that's wonderful. So that brings that's September 10th. So not on Gallery Stroll. You guys have so many activities and events going on. What is the best way for people to kind of keep track of those?
So if you go to modagogo.com, modagogo.
Okay, excellent. No like upper and lowercase letters
no
next to me.
Nothing. Okay. It's just matagogo.com. We've got our events page. Those are all listed there. We also post them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, Google Plus. We're all over the place.
So just start following, and you guys are really good at updating everybody on all those platforms as to what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just a quick teaser for September Gallery Stroll is the Art on Vinyl. And we are still accepting open call to artists. We're still accepting new work. They can stop into Matagogo, pick up a vinyl record. We've got them for free. They can stop in, pick up a couple of them, and submit them by September 13th.
Oh, wonderful.
And then October is our big gallery stroll. It's our Halloween-themed gallery stroll, third annual gallery, the Halloween
it's
show.
It's huge. It's almost hard to get into because there's so many people going, and it's so exciting. And so this is a big thing. And so I'll actually put that a teaser back because we're going to be talking about it in my gallery stroll column. So hopefully they'll pick up the October Gallery Stroll.
It's going to be cool.
And hear a little bit more about that and plan their trip there. So, Eric, it's such a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you. And thank you so much for getting us a little bit more detail about Matagogo and what to expect when we go there. And I look forward to seeing you there for the Fashion and Art Show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, presented by the Salt Lake City Arts Council, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. The series brings together an eclectic selection of performers from various genres, all at an affordable price for a massive audience to attend. Tickets are on sale in advance at 24tix.com for $5, or for purchase the day of the show for $10. Gates open at 5 p.m. and music starts at 7 p.m. Visit TwilightConcertSeries.com for the full lineup and for more details.
The 6th Annual Utah Beer Festival, presented by Salt Lake City Weekly, will take over Library Square this year in downtown Salt Lake City. On Saturday, August 15th, from 3 to 8 p.m., you'll be able to partake in over 100 brews from all around Utah, while also being treated to live music from local bands, a karaoke stage, food vendors, and food trucks to complement your drink. Tickets will also be available for the VIP Lounge, which is hosted by the Beer Professor, as well as early beer drinker tickets to enjoy the fest an hour earlier than the general public. Visit utahbeerfestival.com to purchase tickets and get full details.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love...
Hello, Sweetie!
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
Guerrilla Gallery is a contemporary art exhibition in Salt Lake City. The gallery itself is a mobile exhibit changing locations month to month based on available space and the nature of the artwork being displayed. The gallery incorporates a combination of mixed media, paintings, performance, and music to create a unique experience each month. Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis chatted with gallery founder Cecilia Anthony about the concept and the exhibits they have coming up.
I'm so excited because this is something that's kind of new to Salt Lake, and you're kind of new to Salt Lake. So tell me a little bit about what brought you here and then also what the Guerrilla Gallery is.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, so I moved here in 2013 from Colorado. And one of the primary reasons that I moved here was because the contemporary art scene in Salt Lake and Utah in general is really burgeoning and has such great support. The entire art scene in Salt Lake City really has such great support. And I was thrilled with the amount of venues and galleries that display and sell contemporary art. And since I'm a contemporary artist, of course, I wanted to go somewhere where I felt at home.
That's wonderful. I try to tell people how lucky we are if they don't realize that we have so many opportunities here for to see national acts, and then also just this great local group of artists that we have here is amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah.
So even our neighbors just to Colorado, they are migrating from there for one reason at least, if we're not migrating there for another. So it's so great to have you. So what made you think of a pop-up guerrilla gallery style?
Well, I was inspired a couple of ways. I subscribed to The New Yorker, and I was reading an article in there about a now famous gallerist who in the 1950s had started actually a pop-up in New York. So he worked with some now famous pop artists who back then were not so famous, and they started doing these little pop-up galleries. They would go up for, you know, a day or 2 days or 5 days and invite all their friends, and then they would take everything down, anything that wasn't sold. Then shortly after that, I went to UMOCA and was listening to an art talk, and they had brought in an artist slash curator from Seattle who, after the 2008 crash, financial crash, he had turned his apartment into a gallery. And so there's this huge movement in Seattle to do these apartment galleries. And I just was thinking, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to kind of morph the two.
Sure.
And I was super inspired because including my own work and as well as other friends and other artists that I know, some of the things that we do, whether it's performance art or just kind of crazy 2D or 3D art or digital art or other things, it can be challenging to find a place to show that because it's not necessarily going to bring in
money
for a gallery, right? So I was like, wow, what a great way to just provide a platform for artists to explore a different path, to have a voice for what they're working on now, and to maybe just bring a little excitement into the already exciting contemporary art scene of Salt Lake.
Well, when you know you're only going to have a very brief opportunity to see something, there's that urge to get out and to see it.
Yes.
You know, and I always tell people Gallery Stroll is once a month, and so I feel like I have that month to see it. But for me, if I don't get out there on that Friday, the chances are slim to none that I'm going to make it out the rest of the month. So
Right. There
is that push. But I like this even more, that it's really that one unique opportunity to see this art in this location, in this form, this one, two, or three nights only, and then you know, it will go back to whatever it was in its previous life, you know, as far as a building or, you know, or and the art just goes away. It dissipates. It's back into people's houses or other galleries or, you know, warehouse spaces. And so nice to see these collections one time, one night only in some cases. So.
Exactly. It's exactly right.
So what spaces have you used in the past? So this has been going on since last October,
so
right?
We started in October of 2014. And the first show we did was actually in my old apartment space.
Now, did you currently live there at the time?
I was currently living there at the time. And so it was, you know, thank goodness it was a large enough space where I could move out all of the furniture into, like, the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I curated the living room, dining room.
Nice.
And then we also had a performance art piece there as well. And then in the winter, not being able to really find a place, an actual place, we decided with the artists that I worked with, three artists for our winter show, and we took it all digital.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we had a pop-up digital show that started going up at 6 p.m. on a Friday, and everything was posted by 9, and we kept it up until midnight, and then we took it all down.
Oh, I love that idea.
So it was really fun. That was really great. It was a lot of work, more work than you would think having it be digital, but we had such a great response.
Because then, I mean, if it's cold and you don't want to leave your house,
right.
I mean, we love Netflix for what it delivers into our home for our entertainment. I would love to see art delivered that way.
It was really fun. We had a great response. A lot of people turned out, so to speak, for
turned out,
the
tuned
show.
Tuned in and...
Exactly. So our third one is going to be taking place towards the end of this month. I think we're going to be ready to have everything on the 28th of August.
Okay.
But beyond that...
It's so secretive.
It's very hush-hush.
So how do you find out about when these are popping up?
So you can follow us on Twitter, Guerrilla Gallery, the handle is at Pop-Up Art Utah.
Okay.
And
gorilla, not the animal, more
right,
of the warfare.
Yes, gorilla, not the animal.
Tactical.
Gorilla, the tactical warrior.
Nice.
Yes. And we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our Twitter account is the most active.
That's so exciting. So you can't tell us anything about the show. Can you tell us how many people will be involved in it?
Well, there's two artists, and it's going to be, I'm smiling because I'm so excited about it. But it's a little out there. We are doing kind of a parody. It's not even kind of a parody. We're doing a parody on...
I love this. This is so exclusive. We have the exclusive on what we're going to see on the 29th. If
yes.
It even is the 29th, is it guaranteed that it will be ready by the 29th?
No, it's not. So it is. It's a parody. It's supposed to be funny. On thrift store art.
I love thrift store.
I know, right? There's so much.
And that is also something that we are historically known for, is our amazing thrift stores.
We
travel the world, and I don't know if you can find the kind of things that we still have popping up in thrift stores. Usually the pickers have come and gone, and they are now in, you know, secondhand, upscale stores,
right,
charging three times what the cost originally was. But
right,
we are so fortunate with our thrift stores and the big families that are just giving and continuing to supply that endless flow of retro
and vintage. And we love it. And we love it.
And we're attached to it. It's a part of us because it's Americana, whether it is, you know, antiques or if it was just your childhood. It's still a piece of who we are as a culture and our own history, individual history.
And you did mention Americana, and so it's kind of that whole, you know, parody on thrift store art, kind of, you know, asking people what makes art, what defines art. And also that idea of, my mother used to call it early American rummage.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I know that there are quite a few geese and ducks out there waiting to be adopted. Every woman in the late 80s, early 90s thought that you should decorate with ducks and geese and roosters.
Yes.
And you know your mom had them. So
and
I really
you know
hope that they make them into the show.
Yes.
They need a second life.
You won't
they
be
need
disappointed.
To come around.
You won't be disappointed.
Yay! That's so exciting. And I love that it's keep in touch with us, because that excitement that I've got to hurry and go see it stays alive even with not even knowing what the show is going to be about. That adds to it too.
Exactly. Exactly.
So this show will happen in September and then or in August.
In August.
And then this is quarterly. Is that kind of what you're sticking to? That's the schedule?
So right now the schedule is quarterly, and I can't. It's quarterly in the fact that we will bring you something 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay. But when inspiration strikes, just in art, when the place is right and the art is right, it's going to pop up and be ready.
Exactly.
So you just have to have fun with it and not plan too much.
Yes. It's a playful experience.
I love that.
You know, we're artists. We don't want it to be stressful. And,
sure.
It's like recess.
Yeah. Let's go out and play.
Let's go out and play.
So if you have a location.
Yes.
That you think would be fabulous for a pop-up art or a gallery, and or if you have a theme or an idea, are you open
to
this? Because, I mean, you're like the head curator, but of course we love to work in the community and have the inspirations come together. So.
I do, and I, you know, part of the reason for my doing this is to be able to, I may have said this already, provide that platform for artists who want to branch out and try something new.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, have their voice heard. Oftentimes, especially for performance artists or digital artists or artists who specialize in installation pieces, that can be a little bit challenging.
Sure.
And so, yes, I love to collaborate.
Excellent.
And they can absolutely reach out through any of those three mediums that I mentioned before. And then the goal, too, is to keep Guerrilla Gallery at a $0 output.
There's no overhead with the building. So
no overhead with the building.
So if you can do your concept for little to no money.
Yes.
And you're okay with putting your heart and soul and that little to no money that you have into
exactly.
it. Then you're open to hearing about it.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. And all mediums.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Because I'm sure it gets to be a little bit of a carnival of mediums coming together. I mean, I like the modge podge and juxtaposition of things that allow someone to come as a patron to see more than just one type of art.
Exactly. Yes.
So,
I also don't want to overwhelm people. So what I've been trying to do is keeping the artists to two or three.
So you have plenty of space to create this experience, and you're not overwhelmed by other people's.
Exactly. And different platforms.
Excellent.
So, yes, it is. It's so much fun.
Oh, I love this. I love that this is happening. I think there's great places throughout our city that are just needing that little burst of creativity.
Yes.
And I think that it's kind of, art has a way of leading a charge in creating an environment that people want to be in, whether it be a neighborhood or a school.
Yes.
You know, or a field in the middle of nowhere. And so I think that it's great that you can use that, you can be that spark for that creativity in that community or that area. You're creating these little connections and sparks.
And starting a conversation, hopefully, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love hearing about all the different things that are popping up around Salt Lake.
Thanks.
And Slug is so excited to bring you those opportunities. So thank you so much, Cecilia, for coming here and talking to us about this. And if you need anything from us as a community, please reach out through your social media, because I know there's a lot of art fans, patrons, advocates out there. And this is such an excellent program. And we're excited to have you here and be a part of it.
Thank you so much. I am so thrilled to be here.
All right, everyone, get out and sign up so you can be updated. Way better than trying to find directions to a rave. You can be a part of the Guerrilla Pop-Up Art community. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashine, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll have Slug columnist Mike Brown and Peter Wachowski from Accidente talking about the Utah Jazz. Thanks for listening.